Cinderella Sister, written by Dilly Court, read by Annie Aldington. The moral right of the author has been asserted. Chapter 1. Shadwell, London, November 1880. Lily had been too busy wrestling with the mangle in the outhouse at the rear of the old dockmaster's house to pay much attention to the weather. But pausing for a moment to brush a lock of damp hair from her forehead, she sniffed and wrinkled her nose. She could smell it and taste it, even before she stuck her head out of the door and saw the telltale strands of pea-green fog creeping over the brick wall into the backyard. It curled like a sneak thief's fingers around the men's shirts and underwear, as if it were about to pluck them from the washing line. She sighed and arched her aching back. She hated Mondays. If she ruled the country, she would make it illegal for women to spend the whole day slaving over a copper filled with boiling water and strong-smelling lye soap. She would put a stop to the drudgery of mangling, rinsing, and then mangling again, before the clean garments could be hung out to dry. She'd been slaving away since dawn, and with the sudden change in the weather came the knowledge that the washing would not dry in time to be ironed that evening. Her brothers would have to wear soiled shirts beneath their firemen's uniforms for another day at least. And they would not be happy about that. Then there was Nell, her eldest sister who taught at the ragged school in George Street. She would grumble bitterly if she did not have a clean white collar and cuffs to keep her grey poplin blouse looking spick and span until Friday. As for Molly, Lily's senior by 1 year, well, Molly was a trial at the best of times. As Grandpa Larkin said, Molly would try the patience of a saint. She was unpredictable as the weather. She was like the little girl with the curl in the middle of her forehead. When she was good, she was very, very good, and when she was bad, she was horrid. Well, Lily thought, grinning, Molly was not that bad, and she certainly wasn't horrid. But she had inherited the Delamere temperament from their artistic mother. Molly worked as an apprentice silk handkerchief dyer for old man Cobham in Sun Tavern Place, and she invariably arrived home with her clothes splattered in rainbow hues, most of which were impossible to remove. Lily cranked the handle a little faster, feeding the wet garment through the giant rollers with care. She had learned from bitter experience that getting her fingers caught between them was something to be avoided at all costs. Why, she wondered, was life so unfair? Having been born the youngest of six, she was expected to stay at home all day and help to keep house, while her elder siblings went out to work. Her time was not her own. Of course they had Agnes to do the cooking, but she was more like part of the family than a servant, and she was getting on in years. Her fingers were gnarled with rheumatism, and her legs were corded with varicose veins, which she was pleased to demonstrate whenever anyone asked her to do anything that she considered to be above and beyond the call of duty. This included washing, ironing, scrubbing floors, and beating what was left of their threadbare carpets on the washing line. Changing the sheets and bed-making also came into this category, although each of the Larkin children had been brought up to do this for themselves. It had been many years since the family could afford a domestic to do the mundane chores, and these had gradually been heaped upon Lily's slender shoulders. If only Ma had stayed to raise the family she'd borne so easily, and then carelessly abandoned. But she'd run off with an artist, or so Lily had gathered from the whispers that had circulated at the time. That had been 10 years ago, and at the age of 9, Lily had been considered too young to be told the truth. Some years later, Molly had informed her in a fit of temper that she was no better than their mother, who had spent her time painting pictures instead of looking after her children. Ma, she said, had wasted money on art lessons, which culminated in her leaving home to live with her lover, which had created a scandal that had tainted all their lives. According to Agnes, to whom Lily had gone begging to be told the whole story, the man in question had been a louche fellow from an upper-class background who should have known better. Lily had no cause to doubt Aggie, who had worked for the Delamere family since she was a girl of 15, and had been a surrogate mother to the Larkin girls after their mother abandoned them. Lily had spent what was left of her childhood living in a dream world she created in her head. She made up stories about her French antecedents having fled to England in a desperate bid to escape from the guillotine, although Aggie cast
Sample complete. Ready to continue?